Sign number 15, there will be an exponential increase of technology. One of the most amazing signs of the end concerns something that seemed to be impossible until recently. As we will note, there are several passages in Scripture that seem to teach something taking place that was literally unheard of at the time when the Bible was written. In fact, these events would not have been possible until recently. However, with the rise of modern technology, these biblical explanations of what takes place are no longer impossible. We can list the following three examples that have caused problems and concerns for past Bible commentators. All right, example number one, the coming false prophet and the mark of the beast. Now, there's a passage in Scripture that seems to assume the times in which we live. Indeed, it speaks of a worldwide economic system where nobody can buy or sell without a particular mark, namely the mark of the beast. This is the famous passage, Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 16, and it reads as follows. Then I saw another beast coming up from the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but was speaking like a dragon. He exercised all the ruling authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and those who inhabit it worship the first beast, the one whose lethal wound had been healed. He performed momentous signs, even making fire come down from heaven in front of the people. And by the signs he was permitted to perform on behalf of the beast, he deceived those who live on the earth. He told those who live on the earth to make an image to the beast who had been wounded by the sword but still lived. The second beast was empowered to give life to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and could cause all those who did not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He also caused everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to obtain a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Thus, no one was allowed to buy or sell things unless he bore the mark of the beast, that is, his name or his number. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has insight calculate the beast number, for it is man's number, and his number is 666. That's Revelation 13, verses 11 through 16. Now, let's appreciate what the Bible predicts here. It is a worldwide system which has been put in place where nobody is allowed to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, the number 666, on their right hand or on their forehead. This system will be managed by the second beast, also known as the false prophet. He will force the people of the world to worship the image of the first beast, the Antichrist. Those who do not personally receive the mark of the beast will not be allowed to have any business transactions. Rather, they will be put to death. So here's problem number one. How can you monitor a worldwide economic system? Now, can you imagine even 50 years ago when humans were aware of the extent where people lived in our world, that a system could be put in place where nobody could buy or sell anywhere without a particular mark on either their right hand or on their forehead? It would seem ridiculous to think that any leader could have people in all parts of the globe monitoring every business transaction. In fact, it seemed like something impossible. All right, we have a second problem now. How could the dead bodies of the two witnesses be seen worldwide? In the book of Revelation, there is an account of two witnesses of Jesus Christ who testified to the people of the earth for some 3.5 years. Eventually, they are killed by the final Antichrist. The Bible then explains how it happens. This is from Revelation chapter 11. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry and sending gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. All right, so for 3.5 days, their bodies lie in the street of the holy city of Jerusalem, and at that time, we are told that people all over the earth will see their dead bodies and then celebrate their deaths by sending gifts to one another. Well, as can be imagined, commentators from the past wondered how all the people of the earth could observe such a spectacle. In the year 1847, Horatius Bonar stated the problem for one living in the 19th century. Quote, "We read that the dead bodies of the witnesses are to lie unburied for 3.5 days, Revelation 11, 8-10. Then he goes on to say, that is 3.5 literal days if the abridged scheme be correct. And then it is added that they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies and shall not suffer them to be put into graves. Now, is it possible, he has this in italics, that within 3.5 days people of the different nations, even of the prophetic earth, should be able to come together to the streets of the great city and see these bodies there lying? Or is it possible that within that short space the intelligence of their deaths should be so universally diffused that they should have time to congratulate each other and send gifts to one another in token of their common joy?" Here's what he says next. "We can hardly conceive this possible. These may be perhaps minute pieces of criticism, but they still appear as real difficulties, which it is right and necessary to state." And he wrote that in the year 1847. Well, you can only imagine. For one living in the middle of the 19th century, the problem was obvious. How could everyone on the face of the earth see their dead bodies for 3.5 days? Even if this only referred to people living in the same geographical area, it would still be impossible. Now we have a third problem. How can everyone see the abomination of desolation? A third example has to do with the warning that Jesus gave to the people living in the last days. The Lord said the following in Matthew 24. "So when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken about by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the roof must not come down to take anything out of his house, and the one in the field must not turn back to get his cloak." That's Matthew 24:15-18. Okay, the abomination of desolation takes place in the holy place, the area of the temple that is off limits to everyone except the great high priest. Even then, he is only allowed in the Holy of Holies once a year. From Scripture, we know that when this future event takes place, the final Antichrist will then turn on the Jewish people in an attempt to annihilate them. Those in the immediate vicinity will be the first to suffer the consequences. So, how then are those in the area of Judea to know about it? Those in the field, how are they to get the news? In what sense are they going to see this happen? Okay, now we're going to look at how these problems were dealt with in the past. In the past, Bible commentators dealt with these problems in different ways. Some ignored them. Many assumed that the language was not meant to be understood literally, but rather symbolically. Those who did address them, like the example we gave, admitted that they could not conceive how these events could be literally possible. In other words, they were baffled at the idea of understanding these events to occur just as the Bible stated. The proper view of how to interpret these difficulties was stated in the year 1840 by A.H. McNeil. Listen to what he said. "It is one thing to anticipate the facts predicted according to the literal meaning of the same words when used in other books or in other places of the same books, acknowledging our ignorance as to the mode," he puts that in italics, "of accomplishment, because that mode is not revealed, and it is quite another thing to put a different meaning on the same words in different places of the same sentence in order to make the mode of accomplishment more intelligible." Then he says this, "I had rather avow my inability to answer the question, how," he puts that in italics, "can that be, in 1,000 instances, than to put an evasive interpretation upon a single verse of the Word of God," close quote. How indeed could these things be literal? How could the whole world see the bodies of the two witnesses lying dead in the streets of Jerusalem, or the people actually witnessing the abomination of desolation? Furthermore, how would it be possible to monitor a worldwide system of buying and selling in every corner of the globe? Again, we should pay attention to McNeil's answer. He was unable to explain how, but that did not stop him from interpreting these events in a literal manner. He did not believe that the Bible allowed for such a non-literal interpretation, even though nobody had the slightest idea as to how these predicted events could be literally fulfilled. Of course, this was something which was impossible to conceive of in 1840. McNeil admitted that he did not know the mode of how this would take place, but he was not going to twist the words of Scripture to make them mean something different than what they clearly mean. And of course now, nobody wonders how this could be done. No question in our day and age how these predictions can come to a literal fulfillment. The technology is here to monitor buying and selling worldwide, as well as all the people in the world to view these dead bodies in the city of Jerusalem in a 3.5-day period. In addition, seeing the abomination of desolation take place is not out of the realm of possibility for the people of the earth. In fact, in Sign 8, when we spoke of the preparations to build a third temple, we cited a promotion of the Temple Institute that referred to their architectural plans of the coming temple. You may recall that one of the items this new temple will have is, quote, full computerization, close quote. This will allow people in all parts of the globe to view what is going on in the temple in real time. Yet, it is only in recent times that these things could be considered a possibility. Hence, if we interpret these predictions literally, we can now see how they can indeed literally come to pass. Now, it's often asked about the specific technology which will be used to number each person living in the world. In other words, what exactly is the mark of the beast? Well, at the rate technology is increasing, it is likely something that none of us could ever even imagine. Predictions in the past of what the mark will be now seem naive compared to what is available now, and we can only imagine what is to come. The point is that it is coming and it will include everyone on the globe. Hence, these predictions made long ago in Scripture are now possible to be literally fulfilled. So let's summarize Sign 15. When we say the exponential increase of technology is one of the signs of the end, we are referring to certain future events predicted in Scripture that would have been physically impossible to be fulfilled in biblical times. In fact, the possibility of literal fulfillment could only have been in our modern day and age. Three events seemingly confirm this. The fact that the entire world will see the bodies of the two witnesses lying in the city of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Scripture also predicts that this final Gentile world leader, the Antichrist, will have a worldwide economic system in place. His cohort, the false prophet, will cause everyone on the earth to take the number of this man, 666, on either their right hand or on their forehead. Nobody will be able to buy or sell without it. This assumes some type of global monitoring system. Jesus also warned the inhabitants of Jerusalem to flee when they, quote-unquote, saw the abomination that causes desolation. How in the world could people see this event that takes place in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem? It is confined to that place and a place where only the great high priest can go, and at that, even once a year. Yet, with modern technology, we now know how each of these three predictions can be literally fulfilled. In sum, it seems that the Scriptures do indeed anticipate the technology that all of us are so accustomed to, the ability to view and control events on a worldwide scale.